Imagine coating your factory roof with a new material and cutting its surface temperature by 13 degrees Celsius with zero electricity. That's not science fiction. It's a new nanomaterial developed this week in Spain. What does this mean for your energy bills? And what other invisible technologies are about to transform your business? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that matters. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. This week, we're tracking a significant theme. Nanotechnology is officially moving out of the research lab and into the supply chain.
We've been hearing about nano for years, Troy. What makes this week different?
We're seeing a convergence of industrial-scale production, international quality standards, and major clinical breakthroughs. We're talking about everything from hyper-efficient cancer treatments and next-generation solar cells to new manufacturing facilities in Europe that will redefine advanced materials. For U.S. and European companies, this is no longer a watch-and-wait technology. It's an act-now imperative.
So let's get straight to it. First up, it seems like there's a revolution happening in medicine. Troy, we have a flood of reports this week on medical nanoparticles. We're seeing magnetic nanoparticles from Upstate Cancer Center, targeted lipid nanoparticles from Leuven University, and even gold nanoparticles for prostate cancer. Can you connect the dots for us? What's the core technology here?
Absolutely. The core technology is precision. All these developments use nanoparticles, typically between 1 and 100 nanometers, as a delivery vehicle. Think of them as microscopic programmable drones that carry a therapeutic payload, like a chemotherapy drug, directly to a target, such as a tumor cell, while ignoring healthy tissue.
And why is this hitting the news cycle so hard right now?
Because the results are no longer theoretical. The Upstate Cancer Center study, published August 20th, showed a 10-fold increase in drug efficacy and a 70% reduction in side effects. Similarly, a system from the University of Tokyo achieved a 10 times higher drug concentration at cancer sites. This is backed by serious capital, like the $3.1 million NIH grant UC Davis just received for their smart, transformable nanoparticles. The clinical proof is arriving.
So, for U.S. and European pharmaceutical manufacturers, what does this mean? Are their current blockbuster drugs at risk?
It's both a threat and a massive opportunity. The threat is that a competitor could take an existing drug, package it in a superior nanoparticle delivery system, and make it vastly more effective and safer, essentially creating a new, patent-protected product. The opportunity for Western Pharma is to license this IP directly from universities like Leuven, Upstate, or ETH Zurich, which just developed a magnetic-guided drug delivery platform.
And what about companies on the trading and distribution side of the medical industry?
They need to be watching the diagnostic space. For example, a new CERS imaging platform uses gold nanoparticles to track chemotherapy effects at the cellular level in real time. This is a new class of diagnostic tool that will be sold alongside these therapies. Sourcing partnerships with the specialized biotech firms commercializing these university technologies will be key. The market is moving from late-stage trials to commercial readiness now.
So, what's the one actionable insight for an executive listening today?
If you're in life sciences, establish a dedicated nanomedicine scouting team. Their sole focus should be on licensing IP from these research hubs. Your supply chain managers also need to start identifying bulk suppliers of medical-grade gold nanoparticles, lipids, and other core components, because your manufacturing process is about to change.
Let's shift from medicine to materials. Graphene has been the material of the future for over a decade. Has its future finally arrived?
All signs point to yes. The two biggest barriers to industrial adoption, scale and quality control, are now being demonstrably overcome. This isn't a lab curiosity anymore. It's becoming a reliable industrial commodity.
What specific developments tell you that?
Two major announcements this week. First, Graphenia, a leading European producer, just unveiled a new wafer-scale graphene production facility. Second, the Australian firm First Graphene reported it now has a 100-ton annual production capacity for its PureGraph product line and, crucially, has completed REACH registration in both the EU and the UK.
REACH registration. That sounds like bureaucratic paperwork, but I suspect it's more important than that.
It's fundamentally important. REACH is the European Union's stringent regulation on chemicals and their safe use. Achieving registration means the material is approved for industrial sale in Europe. It removes a massive commercial barrier.
But the most significant development is from the UK's National Graphene Institute. They've developed a protocol for the world's first graphene quality standard, ISO TS21356-2, set for publication this year.
An ISO standard. So for manufacturers in the US and Europe, that means they can finally trust what they're buying?
Precisely. For an automotive or aerospace manufacturer, this is a green light. You can now design a composite part using graphene for lightweighting and strength, and your procurement department can order materials from different suppliers, like Graphenia or First Graphene, to the same exact ISO spec. This de-risks the entire supply chain.
What should trading companies and distributors be doing?
They need to prepare to market and distribute a new class of industrial additive. We're talking about graphene master batches and dispersions that can be integrated into plastics, composites, coatings, and even concrete. A joint venture announced August 13th between HTI Industrial Technologies and Nova Graphene to develop graphene-based ballistic armor is a perfect example of these new B2B opportunities. The ISO standard will be their quality guarantee.
Actionable insight for our listeners in manufacturing?
Instruct your R&D teams to begin prototyping with commercially available, REACH-registered, and soon-to-be ISO-certified graphene now. The companies that master its integration first will have a significant competitive advantage in performance, weight, and efficiency. This is the moment to get ahead of the curve.
Okay, so we have smarter medicine and stronger materials. Let's talk about energy and electronics. We're seeing a lot of nano innovations promising huge efficiency gains. Which one should we be paying attention to?
I'd highlight three breakthroughs this week, all attacking different parts of the energy problem. First, in energy generation, a U.S. company called Ubiquid has used its quantum dot technology to boost perovskite solar cell efficiency to an impressive 21.32%.
Perovskite cells are the low-cost, flexible alternative to silicon, but they've struggled with efficiency and stability. Is this a major step?
It's a critical one. They're repairing defects in the perovskite material at the nanoscale, pushing it closer to commercial viability. The second breakthrough is in data transmission. On August 17th, Caltech announced they've created germanosilicate waveguides on silicon chips that achieve the ultra-low loss performance of fiber optic cables.
So putting fiber optic speed inside a chip? What does that mean for manufacturers?
For U.S. and European makers of data center hardware, servers, and high-end computing systems, this is a potential revolution. It means faster, more energy-efficient data processing. The third development from Spain's CSIC Research Center is a passive cooling nanomaterial. A surface coated with it was 13 degrees Celsius cooler than an uncoated one, using zero electricity.
That sounds transformative for anyone running a factory, a data center, or even designing cars and buildings.
Exactly. For European manufacturers facing high energy costs, this is a direct path to reducing operational expenses. For U.S. electronics companies, integrating this into device casings could eliminate the need for fans and other active cooling systems, allowing for smaller, more efficient designs.
What's the opportunity for trading companies and distributors here?
They have three new high-value product categories emerging. One, quantum dot films from companies like Ubiquid for the solar industry. Two, specialized wafers from foundries that license Caltech's new photonic process. And three, these new radiative cooling coatings or films, which have applications in construction, automotive, and electronics. The market timing is now, as these are moving into pilot production.
So the actionable insight for executives in these sectors?
If you're in the solar or semiconductor industry, you must evaluate licensing these technologies to leapfrog competitors. For everyone else, from manufacturing to logistics, assign a team to run a pilot project with these new passive cooling materials. The potential ROI from slashing air conditioning costs is enormous.
Troy, it's been a dense week for nanotechnology. Let's boil it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, precision medicine has arrived. Nanoparticle delivery systems are making existing drugs dramatically better and safer. The competitive battlefield in pharma is shifting from discovering new molecules to perfecting their delivery. U.S. and European firms must pivot R&D and business development to focus on licensing this IP from university labs.
Second,
industrial materials are being rewritten. With new European production facilities and a global ISO quality standard on the horizon, graphene is now a reliable, bankable material. It's no longer a question of if, but who will build the first graphene-enhanced commercial aircraft wing, EV battery, or processor heatsink. The time for experimentation is over. The time for implementation is now.
And the final takeaway for the week?
Unlocking efficiency is the new frontier. Whether it's UBQD's quantum dots boosting solar output, Caltech's waveguides cutting data center energy use, or Spain's new Painon cooling material, nanomaterials are providing step-change improvements in energy efficiency. Western executives should be aggressively piloting these technologies to lower their operational costs and create more competitive products.
A fascinating look at how the world's smallest technologies are creating the biggest business opportunities. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Troy, thank you.
My pleasure, Susie.
And thank you for listening to Troy Technical Intelligence. If you want to stay ahead of the technology curves that will define your industry, subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening now. We'll be back next week with another strategic analysis.